Hello, and welcome to Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, July 12, 2006. I'm Bill Brenner. This week, a look at Metasploit framework creator H.D. Moore's campaign to disclose new browser flaws each day in July. Jonathan Beidle from Qualys talks about Microsoft's July security patches in this week's Security Spotlight. And phishers use a phone trick to dupe PayPal users out of their credit card numbers. But first, our top story. Secure Computing Corp. announced Tuesday that it has signed a definitive agreement to acquire messaging security firm CipherTrust for a total price tag of $273.6 million. John McNulty, chairman, president, and CEO of the San Jose, California-based firm, said acquiring Alpharetta, Georgia-based CipherTrust is the next logical step in Secure Computing's larger game plan. Over the past few months, he said, the company has made a lot of progress with the integration of CyberGuard. With the brunt of that integration complete, he said the time is right to continue investing in enterprise gateway security, and that after an extensive review, the company believes CipherTrust and its messaging security technology is the perfect addition to Secure Computing. Secure Computing is purchasing CipherTrust for a total of $273.6 million, which is comprised of $185 million in cash, 10 million shares of Secure Computing common stock, and a $10 million seller note that is subject to certain performance obligations. As a result of the transaction, CipherTrust shareholders will have an approximate 14% ownership position in Secure Computing. As part of the deal, Jay Chaudhry, CEO, chairman, and founder of CipherTrust, will join Secure Computing's board of directors as vice chairman and serve as the company's chief strategy officer. Also in the news, Metasploit framework creator H.D. Moore has launched a new blog where he vows to publish details on at least one new browser security hole a day for the month of July. His Browser Fun blog has already outlined flaws in Internet Explorer, Mozilla Firefox, and the Safari browser used with Apple computers Mac OS X. Moore, whose Metasploit framework is used for penetration testing, IDS signature development, and exploit research, has declared July the month of browser bugs. In a message posted to the official Metasploit blog, he said the vendors have been notified and that the time has come to start publishing the results. He said the information is being published to create awareness about the types of bugs that plague modern browsers and to demonstrate techniques used to discover them. In the Browser Fun blog, Moore was quick to point out that the details will be displayed with care, and that the published hacks will be carefully chosen to demonstrate a concept without disclosing a direct path to remote code execution. And now for this week's Security Spotlight. Microsoft released 7 security bulletins Tuesday, patching critical flaws in its Windows and Office programs. Joining me to talk about this month's security holes and fixes is Jonathan Beidle, product manager at Qualys, a security firm in Redwood Shores, California. Jonathan, welcome to Security Wire Weekly.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Jonathan, of all the flaws addressed this month, which one should Microsoft customers be most concerned about?
Well, enterprises should move to address MS06-035 quickly, because this vulnerability impacts important enterprise servers. It's remote code executable, and it could potentially be used to facilitate the spread of a new worm. And in addition to timely patching, there are other workarounds that are available for this vulnerability, such as changing firewall settings, etc. It should be noted that 3 other critical updates related to Microsoft Office, MS06-037 through 039, represent what we see as a growing trend toward an increase in client-side vulnerabilities that prey on user inexperience to spread malicious code. And these type of vulnerabilities affect applications like Microsoft Office that businesses rely on every day for productivity. And since there are no workarounds for these type of vulnerabilities short of eliminating the use of these programs, organizations should really be focused on quickly patching these vulnerabilities. The increasing number of client-side vulnerabilities that require user interaction for exploitation highlights a need for solid user education aside from just a patching program. And this will become a key element in the mitigation process going forward as the purveyors of malicious code aim to take advantage of these applications and vulnerabilities based on users' naivete. If we can create more security-aware users, organizations can effectively eliminate a lot of the important attack vectors and reduce their overall risk as related to client-side vulnerabilities.
Now, Jonathan, as we all know, some of the flaws addressed yesterday had already been exploited, including an Excel flaw. Are there any holes that you're aware of that are pretty concerning that were not addressed in yesterday's patch release?
I was somewhat surprised that the Microsoft patch for Excel MS06-037 didn't address more of the critical vulnerabilities we've seen come out in the last few weeks related to Excel. It did address 8 different vulnerabilities directly related to Excel, such as the critical CVE-2006-3059, but it didn't address other critical and prominent Excel vulnerabilities such as CVE-2006-3431 and 3086. Both of these are considered critical issues in direct relation to Excel. The patches for these issues were anticipated because of their prominence in the availability of proof-of-concept exploit code.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've somewhat answered this already as far as the concern about MS06-035 and the wormability of that flaw. Do you worry that with any of these flaws this month that there is a much higher likelihood for a worm than we've seen in the last several months? Or do you think at this point the era of big worms is over and that now it's all about these more targeted attacks?
Well, like you mentioned, MS-035 as well as MS-036 both have the potential to be exploited by a worm, with 035 being the easier of the two to exploit. But as for the era of big worm attacks, I'd like to believe that it's over, but we still see vulnerabilities month after month with the potential to be exploited by worms. So while we haven't seen any major worm outbreaks recently, the potential, I believe, still exists.
Now, have you heard at all about any new exploit code surfacing since yesterday's patch releases? We know that most months, right after Patch Tuesday, almost immediately exploit code starts to be published someplace.
I have heard indications, but nothing that I can confirm.
Okay. And we haven't had much in the way of patches for Internet Information Services in quite some time. Microsoft rated this fix as important. I'm wondering how much urgency you think Microsoft customers should place on this one, or if you think it's one of those patches to keep at the bottom of the pile for now.
Well, because of the prevalence of IIS, particularly in enterprises, anything directly related to IIS and IIS-related vulnerabilities, also because IIS is a web server, you can obviously see the need, being that it's customer-facing, you would want to have these issues addressed fairly quickly. But it is only related as an important vulnerability by Microsoft. It does allow for remote code execution, so you would have to balance this against the needs of your organization to determine what the appropriate patching schedule is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, again, Jonathan Beidle from Qualys. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bill.
Finally, a warning to PayPal customers. Phishers are using a new trick to get you to give up your credit card number. An email that claims to come from PayPal tries to lure in victims by claiming that their accounts have been tainted by fraudulent activity. Instead of including a website link in their emails, Fishers in this case include a phone number. The telephone number offers up a message that says, quote, "Welcome to account verification. Please type your 16-digit card number." The scam was uncovered by UK-based security firm Sophos, whose website includes a screenshot of the phishing email in question, along with an audio file of the phone recording. And that's Security Wire Weekly from searchsecurity.com. The latest security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And don't forget that you can download more of our podcasts at searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Bill Brenner. Thank you for listening.